so young, though mayhaps this was a blessing. Had he lived, he would have grown up to be a Frey.
Welcome to Two Champs and a Chump, a Game of Thrones LCG podcast founded in 2010 by myself, Will Lentz, Brett Zeiler, and Greg Atkinson. Currently regularly hosted by myself, Brett, and Daryl Lloyd. Thanks go out to George R. R. Martin for the world we're all fans of, FFG for this amazing game, Card Game DB for our hosting, and Josh Woodward for the Creative Commons license music that you hear in this episode. This is Season 4.
Good old Wyman Manderly.
That's right. Crushing your dreams since 1998.
Yeah, not nearly that recently. But
yeah, I don't think
he did have some good parts in Book 5. I never ever would have expected it out of a man too fat to ride a horse, but Martin can make him pretty cool.
You really underestimate chubby non-horse riders.
Yeah, I wonder, did Martin model him after himself? Think of it, he's always wearing that that kind of ship captain hat and everything. He's a larger man, and of course, who has the biggest fleet in the Stark neck of the woods? Wyman Manderly.
He raised a lot of good points.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good points. I don't know, I think Martin throws different aspects of himself into a lot of different characters, so yeah, I can see it. I can certainly see him being like, don't hate on the fat man, like that being an agenda there.
Probably so. As if Sam the Slayer didn't already get that point across pretty heftily.
Yeah.
You like what I did there? Heftily?
Wow.
Yeah.
And now everyone turns off the podcast.
I went there. Hey, but you know, for the folks that didn't turn off the podcast, I would like to throw out a welcome there. We kind of mentioned it last episode, but I would like to draw everyone's attention this week to the fact that Kyle is officially joining us as a co-host. This is his first full official episode. He had to go through an awful lot of paperwork in triplicate. Daryl finished reviewing it all last night, actually. And the hiring process is complete.
Yep. $1.6 million contract to span 48 episodes. We're pretty excited.
Mm-hmm.
With
an
option
for renewal. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you. Yep. I went through a lot of pens and lawyering to get that extension.
Yeah, we really didn't want to give it to him, but in the end, he offered to trade us some pretty sweet nudie pics for it, and we capitulated.
Well, yeah. The contract game is more about pride at this point, you know, showing off, flashing to the other guys, kind of, you know, keeping up with the Joneses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Drew Rosenhaus really pulled out every stop in negotiating this contract with you, so.
I told him that Drew Brees was a waste of time, and if he couldn't get his ass to Missouri, that I would have to look elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, the deal's done. It's all locked in. We're all lubed up and we're ready to roll. Welcome to another fine ass episode of Two Champs and a Chump. My name is Daryl, also known as Gearhalt on the boards.
I'm Kenan, Will Lentz.
I'm just Kyle. Though I guess technically I have a board name. I am the panda that rides, though I should probably change it to the panda that creeps, because I can't tell you the last time I actually posted something.
Gotcha.
But I read.
So you are also someone who can't ride a horse.
Yeah. Sure.
I assume, you know, it's just not something pandas do.
Well, I am the panda that rides. Normally it's Priuses, but I could...
wow. And as you and Daryl discussed earlier, you have a Prius, so...
Yeah, right. For the club.
For the club.
You want in on that joke? Stay for the Easter egg.
There we go. We're going to tie that in right here.
Yeah, see, exactly. Look at that. Full circle, bitches.
No one's going to miss that.
5-inch circle.
Oh, yeah.
Well, while we're tying stuff in, we had kind of been lamenting a lack of FFG news and activity as far as Thrones was concerned last week. But this week, we got to fix that.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a teaser article for the second pack in the next cycle. This one is called The Champion's Purse.
Bum, bum, bum.
And it has a sweet, kind of creepy picture of Tyrion on the front, it looks like.
Super creepy.
Yeah.
That's definitely Tyrion.
Oh, yeah.
And probably my least favorite Tyrion to date. I even like it less than the I'm Ewart Small Tyrion. Because that one at least went like full ugly. This one's like it's going half ugly. You gotta go full ugly.
I mean, this one still has a nose. Retard.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, he does.
Look how disproportionately large that coin is. I mean, you could kill a man with that coin.
Yeah, that's a...
Tyrion has small hands, alright?
It's a fat coin, dog.
Dog.
Okay.
All right, we'll go with
that. So, well, aside from critiquing Tyrion's appearance, let's dig into what kind of cards we've got available here. We've got several that are halfway visible that we can't really tell a whole lot about, like the Desert Raider and the Tokar. But I do see Sir Robert Strong here, who I can tell is a Lanny Shadows card, and he's another Kingsguard guy. Can't tell too much about him other than I can tell... he has no attachments because we can see the end of the word attachments on the keyword line. And something about characters and printed cost. Less
you can make most of that
something.
Out.
Controller's dead, into play knelt. So I think he's some kind of recursion thing, probably coming out of Shadows and putting stuff into play.
Well, let's see what we can read here. I'll pull it up and zoom in and see how much I can creep.
Okay.
So if characters less than with character with a printed cost, there can only be so much there because of how like the text box fits. So less than the number of blank and its controller's dead blank comes into play now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess
characters with a print cost less than the number of characters in its controller's dead pile comes into play now.
So it's a kneeling effect.
That would make sense.
Okay. See, that's kind of
cool. And be cool. And if you'll notice, like, there's no room for opponents there. Like, that has to be all characters.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Well, a character with printed cards? I don't know. Yeah, the beginning of that.
It can't be A. It has to be, this has to read
all
like a
character. All character?
Or response,
yeah,
character.
The problem is, yeah. Is there enough room for after A to be there? So it says after a character with a printed.
But then why would it become comes into play now? Because that doesn't make any sense.
Well,
it would almost have to be like a passive, like characters with a printed cost less than the number of characters in his controller dead pile come into play now.
Maybe that's what it is, and they just actually have a typo on the art here, and it should have said characters, even though it only says character.
Or when a character with a printed comes into play.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that could work.
Comes into play now. I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Either way,
that
that's a
seems
cool
redunk.
Well, it hits both of you. There's no way for you cannot put opponents there. There's not enough room.
Hey, but that makes the Kingsguard Oakheart start looking more and more awesome.
Yeah,
you know, if everybody's stuff's coming into play now, then you can start bringing your Kingsguard out of Shadows or other Shadows cards and start just standing your guys right up, so you can go to town.
And it is. I mean, it is only one turn. I mean, if it is comes into play now, I mean, they do stand and standing.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that would slow the game down a lot if that is how he reads.
I think he's sweet. I mean, I'm really digging the new Kingsguard, and that I'm going to cut Daryl off here. That's probably not a discussion to get into, but I'm excited to see Robert Strong.
I'm excited to see how strong Robert is.
Indeed.
Yeah, well, that art is dope.
Again. Yeah. Yeah, can I say that from what we've seen of this cycle, you can tell, I don't know if FFG has consciously found new guys or has a bigger budget, but I have not seen a card that I've been disappointed with.
I think they had to have really stepped up the art budget.
Yeah.
which is appreciated. I mean, you think, like, you're seeing rewards for a fan base that is growing, so obviously there's more money coming into the game, and you're seeing that reflected in the quality of products that we're getting, and so that's cool.
Yeah.
So let's see, what else can we part ways? See, we can see a little bit of a card called Counterplot that I can see as House Lannister and has a limited response, and I see something that about opponent and unique Lannister and revealing and choose and
a limit.
Yeah, and some kind of limit there. And I'm just going to say, I know the old counterplot from the very first set of the game was a Bazonkers card and was, if I recall, the second card ever to be banned in the game. And it was a Lanny event that let you kneel a Lannister character to cancel a plot that was just revealed and then force that player to reveal a new one. And it was awesome. So after go ahead.
No, I would just say No, I'll let you finish and then I'll go ahead and say what I was going to say.
I was just going to say, after seeing Wheels Within Wheels come back in the previous spoiler article and that blow my mind because I never thought they'd let that come back, I hope and also really hope against this being the old counterplot.
But I have to imagine if it is, it will be a prized event.
Well,
you'd have to put some insane number on it.
Yeah, just like they did with Counterplot. Granted, Counterplot's 2 prize doesn't seem insane, Wheels Within Wheels.
But you have to remember, they are getting that regardless. Like, prized on a character, it has to die. Prized on a location, you have to find a way to blow it up or an attachment. I mean, the only guaranteed prized are the events and the plots. So, I mean, that is definite power. You are definitely giving them, even if it gets canceled. I mean, if you play that, let's say it's like prized, I don't know, 5. I mean, it won't be, but something like that. If you get just paper shield, boom, and now when your dudes is down, you just gave them a ton of power and you are out
right.
So much. Wow. So
so we can hope that it's prized. I mean, given the set's theme, I suppose, you know, there's been a lot of prized cards. I would hope that it would be prized, especially if it is based off of this earlier card that Will is referring to. Now, I would assume that FFG would not print a cancel event, an event that cancels a plot card, like, straight up. Like, I would say even if it's prized. I mean, it would have to be, like, prized 5. I would assume that maybe they would reveal a new plot or something, but straight up cancel that shit and then they reveal a new one. With a game that requires a Valor, otherwise it just gets absurd. I just could not see them printing that. Now maybe I'm wrong, and this set contains some other things to offset that, and with the prize keyword, the ability to speed up the game could come in handy. I don't know, but as it is right now, is Game of Thrones requires a reset.
I think it is
an event, and there's not a ton of ways to search for events. I mean, it's not like they're going to always have an answer to, like, if that's your defense for Valor, let's just assume, or any card in a set that, you know, this is my answer to Valor. If it's not a plot, and even if it is, so much of that is timing. You have to have it. You have to be in position to play it. I mean, even without wit, you have to have the learn it out and standing. So even if this is an event that you use in such a form to get around their Valor, you still have to draw it. You still have to be able to get it by without it getting canceled.
Right.
So, let's wait and see. But I'm of the cards I see, I'm very excited about what's here.
Well, yeah.
Lannister has a lot of draw, and they have a ton of unique characters that are good. So I don't think that's really going to be an issue. But anywho, it'll be interesting. Yeah, we will. Indeed, we will.
Well, we've got another card that can actually be completely read. Do one of you guys want to read that one, since I kind of tackled the first two?
Sure, I will.
Go, Daryl.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, this
as
is
the
a
new
plot.
Guy, I'll sit back.
That's right. The Lost Message, it's a 3/0/1 with the Raven trait.
Yeah.
I might add, this is
going to
be interesting. It has prized 1 when revealed, choose and discard an attachment from a play. So it's going to let you hit somebody's Raven
Birds go bye-bye.
I mean, that's going to be nice with the new, I guess, with the new agendas that are being played and stuff. I don't know. I guess that's cool.
I think that's really cool. Well, it gives you an answer. I mean, you hear so many games. If you're a season deck and you really key off it, how many times do you hear, you know, and then he made it winter, and then he made it summer, he'd already ditched my Raven off for his, and that's the game. Yeah. You know, now it's not a who blinks first on the Raven. You can, if you want to take up a plot slot, build in that safety net. I think it's cool. I think it's a good plot.
I mean, it is sure a good plot. It's gonna, I don't know, I think it's so good, and I don't have a real good feel right now for how big of a thing Prize is gonna be, but Prize 1 is definitely as low as you can go on that front. It makes me wonder if this is going to get close to doing, to attachments, what the Tin Link did back in the day, because, you know, it's just real easy to stick that in, fire and forget whenever an attachment comes up.
I don't think so. Plot slots have gotten so valuable. And, I mean, the Tin Link was so... Part of the issue was you could pull it up on command, it thinned out your deck, you could go and get it. And yes, you can go and get this, but if that... I mean, that's your plot effect. 301 is nothing to really ooh and awe at. And to have the only... It doesn't have any other traits besides Raven. So... I don't think, unless I really cared about it not being a season... Or there came an attachment that just, like, was the, you know, silver bullet to my deck, that I'd really run it. I mean, there are certainly decks that will warrant it, and it will be good in them, but I don't see it being a meta-shaping clone.
Well, and yeah, I was going to say, I don't think that it's going to have near the effect of the Tin Link, you know, because, I mean, let's not forget, the Mad King's Legacy has been around for, I'm pretty sure it was a core set card.
Yep.
And so this gave Targaryen an automatic answer to discard an attachment from play. This kind of breathes the same life with just one less gold and obviously a lower initiative. But I think the thing that made the Tin Link unique is that it was repeatable over and over and over again. You could just, discard this. You know, I don't think that's going to do this. I just think that why would you make it so easy to get rid of Ravens? Like, if you are running a dedicated Seasons deck, you should have to tech. It should be a requirement to tech against the opposite season. You know, and to dedicate some of your 60 cards into this. This gives you just kind of an automatic answer to turn off their Raven. And honestly, I don't know if I like that. I liked the shenanigans, even with the Tin Link, to use the Copper Link, to give the Tin Link the Raven trait, to discard, you know, the Raven from play. Or something like that, or playing a Raven to get rid of a Raven, or a Carrion Bird to shuffle it in. Like, this is a little too automatic for me, but, you know, I don't know.
I thought the Carrion Birds weren't terribly hard to pull off, and this is a plot slot. I mean, like I said, I think
it's nothing to sneeze
at. That's true.
Every time I build a deck, I think I get down to, like, 12 plots, and it becomes so brutal to try and figure out what to cut, and... I don't know. I think the cost in just taking up one of those 7 slots will keep things in check. And, I mean, you have to remember, let's say it is an auto-include and both players are running it. Now it becomes a struggle to keep a season up, much less, you know, it always being one of the 2 seasons. I think it adds some more chess-matchy maneuvers to a, like, a winter-on-summer game.
I could agree with that.
Maybe.
Not maybe, Daryl. Definitely.
All right. Well, how about we jump down to the next one that got spoiled here? Kyle, you want the next one?
The next one being Hope.
Go for it.
Whichever one you want to read.
Yep.
I'm like, there's not a lot on Desert Raider, other than he's an ally, so that's kind of cool. So Vargo Hope, 3/3, Mil Pow, Lord Mercenary. Prized 1, Renown, Warcrest, so that's awesome. Renown, Warcrest alone, I mean, that's...
Yeah, that's a good combo. And at a nice price point.
Yeah. And for response, after it comes into play, enters play, that's kind of key. Choose and kneel any player's house card. You may discard a character agenda from that house card.
There you go, enters play. Targ can bring it back with recruitment and get to kneel a house card out of the deal.
Yeah, take that, Hollow Hill.
Yeah, I don't know that it's going to be a big play against Hollow Hill. It might kind of throw them off their game for a turn, which isn't terrible. Might, well, I mean, might give you an edge, but...
Well, a lot of people like the... I mean, you run it for a lot... If you're not using all three phases, I don't think people do it anymore. So, I mean, you can take two influence out and drop this dude on the board.
Mm-hmm.
All day.
I mean, and let's not forget, you get to discard a character agenda, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah. So, I mean, it hits both of the... In some way, obviously one more impactful than the other, both of the top-performing archetypes at Worlds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And at Gen Con, too, which is worth noting. And Stalic, come to think of it, since that's the Hollow Hill one over there.
So, I think he's just renowned Warcrest at 3 for 3. He's another very solid card that I think will, if he doesn't make the cut, he's going to be one of the last ones out for a lot of decks.
He's solid. There's been a lot of really solid-looking neutral stuff lately. I think that's going to be the tough part, is finding the slots for all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I just see the neutral faction, the Long Voyage, just becoming better and better every day as I see more and more of these unique neutral cards.
That is a really good point.
I mean, which is nice. The neutral faction doesn't really get enough love, and I've stressed time and time again, more often than I'd like to admit, as how I really want neutral to be. You know, I don't want it, you know, I don't really care if it became a tier one house, if you will. But I, you know, I'd like to see it get some support. It was printed. Let's just not print shit for the sake of printing it. Let's give it some support. So this is nice.
Daryl, do you want to go ahead and read Shagwell then?
I will read you Shagwell. Throw, this seems Shag like very well. Okay, so Shagwell, which this art, very nice.
Yeah, so, Daryl, will you please cosplay as Shagwell? I think you could borrow a couple of Kristen's little mannequin heads. It'd be perfect.
Nice. Okay, well, he is unique to cost, to strength, military intrigue, a fool, which I adore, and a mercenary, prized one, deadly. If you are running the neutral faction house card, Shagwell gains response. After you play a mercenary character, choose and kneel a non-army character, limit once per round. So, a little bit of kneeling there.
He's awesome. I think he's better than the Castellan.
Maybe. You got to have a lot of mercs to play to back that up.
But, I mean, look at a lot of the neutral cards we've seen lately. You know, I mean, Bargo's a mercenary. There are mercenaries out there. And if you're running neutral house, you're probably running out of house stuff, so you get things like disgruntled mercs. Yeah. I mean, that's every round. Bam, 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 bam. That'd be cool.
That would be neat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. He does pack a bunch of bang for his buck, you know? Just two costs. He's unique, which is nice. He's deadly with the two icons. I mean, it's a really nice start on stuff. And there you go. I mean, right there needs the neutral agenda. The neutral faction card for sure.
And it's not a limited response.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Which could come in handy.
Stellan friend.
Yeah, if you really want to just drop stuff out there. Of course, you know, he's more vulnerable to burn. Doubly so being unique and lower strength, so... You know, there's a trade-off there.
There is. But, I mean, Castellan's also restricted. I mean, if he's that close to a restricted card, I mean, I would be very excited. And Daryl talks about neutral getting support, and that looks pretty solid in their corner.
It does look like solid support. I mean, even if you're going to just roll him for a one-off. I mean, everyone knows that Deadly on the Intrigue icon is probably the most useful combination of the two as far as icon and keyword goes. Yeah, jeez. My voice, my words, my matching, I'm too drunk for this. Anyways, whatever else I was saying, go along with that.
Well, I mean, he even if he only triggers off himself just the one time, that's still like an enemy informer, and Lannister pays 3 gold for the same thing.
Yeah, yeah, he's worth it even just off of himself.
Granted, he is prized one, but still.
So yeah, yeah.
It's probably a question of how worth it the neutral faction deck is, because he's only going to get to do that in that deck.
That is true. But I think you're finally starting to see cards where people show up with a neutral faction, you don't giggle or wonder what strange concoction they've thrown together. I mean, granted, neutral did very well at that Chinese tournament. I saw a bunch of noise about the Long Voyage deck doing pretty well out there, but I think you're seeing legitimate support with the idea, not just neutral cards that are good, but cards that are made with the intention of going in a neutral faction deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
yeah. That's what I have to say about that.
Okay. Well, what other... did we get anything else here? Oh, yeah. It looks like we got one more from this particular pack, didn't we? We got... guess maybe I'll hit the very last one. We got good old Edmure Tully. Everyone's favorite guy to hate on. Okay, maybe not everyone, but a lot of people's. He is a 3-cost unique start character, 3 strength, a military and a power icon. He's got a Warcrest as well. He's House Tully, a knight, and a lord. He's got Deadly. All of that's sounding pretty good already. And any phase, choose a card in any player's discard or dead pile, shuffle that card back into its owner's deck. Limit once per round.
That's pretty awesome.
Ooh. Slow down, Edmure. Slow down.
Yeah, that is titty-tastic right there. You don't even have to kneel him or anything. Like, come on.
I mean, the ability is gravy, but just a 3-for-3 bicon, 3 traits you could all trigger off of, and a Warcrest with Deadly.
And he's unique, like, so he can trigger, like, either of the big kill events that you're going to be playing out of Stark. The Deadly's nice. He's just super efficient, even outside of that ability.
Yeah, super good.
Yeah.
His quote does not, his flavor text does not do him justice. He's going to bloody a lot more than Tywin's nose.
Yeah. You know, I'm not super big on the ability. I mean, it's all right. You know, you'll take a unique character out of your dead pile here and there, or shuffle an event.
Well, that's
back
great
in,
against
but
that's, like these
that's
characterless
kind of
decks that are coming out. I mean, it's
yeah, that's
nice.
Going to be the big part is stripping the opponent's dead pile, or sorry, discard pile.
I don't know. I think that's gonna it's going to be good in a number of ways as well. Yeah. You're going to be pushed, well, you spurred on even more to run uniques in your deck, and not have
that's
an issue.
Not a bad
oh,
thing.
He died, and I can't play him here. Let me as have no penalty and cost. Just shuffle the dupe back into my deck and play my character now. Like, that is awesome.
Well, you talk in the article about, like, recurring to be a wolf's.
Well, you're not really recurring them. You're shuffling them back
in. Well, you shuffle it back in, so
yeah,
you, like, play to be a wolf,
no
get another one.
From that point, whether you'll get it back or not.
Well,
you may
yeah.
never draw it again. So, like, never focus on that.
you may never draw it again, but...
well, that's, I think that's what
it's
kind of.
You stand a character.
Yeah, you stand a character
right.
to, and then you get to go search for something.
Right. So then
so you
would,
can kneel him, put in
event,
your deck.
Exactly.
Go get
if
it.
They don't, yeah. If they don't say event, you just grab another to be a wolf, and play it again to stand another character. So they have to let you search for like a location or characters.
Well, yeah, yeah.
That's awesome.
I mean, the average player is not going to let you pick an event with to be a wolf. That's generally asking for trouble.
So now you can search for a character, a location. You're forcing them even more so to...
Yeah, I think this discussion has turned into whether or not to be a wolf is awesome. I think the question is absolutely it is. And it is criminally underplayed.
True. Very true. I like it. But I like Edmure. Like you said, I think his ability is... It's very versatile, and any time an ability can hit... be used in a wide variety of ways like this one can. It's awesome. If they're recurring things from their dead pile, get it out of there. If you're running against a bear player, like, you can screw them over on their Mel's schemes. I'm going to take Robert out of there or whatever else you know they're going to go get.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can hit it with your own stuff. I mean, this
exactly.
card is so versatile. And
exactly.
anytime a card can do that, it's awesome.
Or you're me, and you love to play Widow's Watch and run 3x of the Riders of the Red Fork, and late game, all your riders have either been dead or discarded, and you have a ton of ways to search them out, so you can shuffle them back in. That rules.
And you can just keep searching them out.
Exactly. This card is amazing for one of my decks. I mean, nobody loves Riders of the Red Fork more than this guy.
No,
I'm serious. Arguably the best card in the game.
Oh, wow.
I don't know about that, but I believe that no one loves it more than you.
I will believe that.
Like, undisputedly the best card in Limited in the draft format, Riders of the Red Fork, best card in the game.
Okay.
I love this
oddly
guy.
Specific.
Yeah. All right. So we got one more card to talk about.
Yep.
Yep.
And that would be Needle.
Oh, boy.
All right. So Needle, one cost, obviously unique. An item and a weapon. Priced two. Here we go. Unique. Start character only. While attached character is participating in a challenge, opponents cannot trigger effects. Holy shit.
I didn't know Brienne ever used Needle, but that's kind of what we're getting.
Apparently that was her secret tech.
She had Needle on her.
I mean, dude.
It's good.
Did they need this card? Like, come on.
It is prized too. So you gotta be careful what you're putting it on.
Yeah, and we've already seen there's gonna be a plot floating around that'll just discard this. Just flip a plot and it's gone.
That's true.
But I mean, it's so cool. People talk about all the great cards out of Stark and even out of Barra, but Brienne is so brutal. Absolutely brutal. As someone who loves triggered effects and responses, I mean, she just can wreck my day so hard. And to be able to turn anyone into Brienne on top of already probably running her, yeah. I mean, I don't like running events. Attachments are not really something I'm big on, but this,
well,
I would think long and hard.
The reason we haven't been big on attachments is because there hasn't been an attachment worth a damn. You know, I mean, there's a couple that are pretty good, sure, but there aren't a ton of them. There aren't a plethora of good ones. And I would say, hey, why don't we just start printing more attachments that are just baller and with the prize keyword?
And that seems to be what they're doing.
Idea. Exactly.
Indeed.
You're also noticing a theme I'm starting to kind of see through some of the cards we've had spoiled. There's almost a sub theme of turning things into other things. Like the plot, like you said, is kind of like Mad Kings.
Uh huh.
And now this is kind of like Brienne. So it's kind of neat to see effects we've already seen in the game in some form or another coming back in new forms. Like if Counterplot really does cancel a plot, well, it's kind of like Outwit, but it's different. It's an event. So
they're just changing from one card type to another. Interesting.
Maybe a more playable type.
Just different. I mean, they're both plots with attachment control, but just, I mean, this current cycle that's coming out, I think I remember early on Nate saying, you know, he wants to reinforce old themes, and each pack, you know, kind of reinforced an old cycle. Well, this one even still seems to have a lot of that same kind of mindset behind it.
I'm okay with that. I've been really loving this cycle.
I have too. Now that we've seen a couple cards, you can start to pull out some trends on what we can expect with Nate designing cards, and I think you can kind of see this theme, which is neat because you can dedicate more to it. Like, if you really hate attachments and you're playing out of Targ, you can now squat on them twice.
Exactly. Yeah, I was totally thinking
really
about that.
Or if you really hate triggered effects, run two Needles and Brienne and go to town.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. Yeah.
So definitely building some excitement for this next cycle, I think.
I guess, did we ever talk about Conquest on the show, though? So we haven't really talked about this agenda, have we?
You know, I thought we did, but I could be misremembering.
I don't remember us talking about this, so we're going to go ahead and reopen this up if we talked about it before, because I don't remember this.
Okay, go right ahead. Maybe it is certainly possible that you were not on that episode for some strange reason.
I don't know. Well, whatever. We're going to do it anyways. So, Conquest, it's an agenda. When you announce your agenda, name a house. Ignore the out-of-house gold penalty when playing cards or placing setup cards with that affiliation. You are out of house characters and attachment cards with the affiliation game prized one while leaving play. You are out of house locations with that affiliation game prized two while leaving play.
Super good.
You can't just go all in on C's, which is a bummer.
Maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know about, you know, its competitiveness, but I like that we finally have a way, like all those treaty agendas. I was like, why don't these exist for every house? And I don't like that it only goes certain ways. And
yeah.
So having a universal, if you want to build a dual house deck, you now have a way, may not be the most competitive, but at least a way of doing that that I think is more advantageous than like Alliance, especially in Melee. I think this will see a lot more play than Alliance does.
You know, and so, if there's just a couple things you need to splash, like, this is perfect for the stuff that just needs a minimum of out-of-house cards.
Yeah, this deck would be amazing with just these one or two pieces, because now you're not really taking a ton of risk. And again, I go back to kind of this theme I've been pushing on the episodes. I think versatility is king. And this is an agenda where if you need a ton of stuff and you want big risk, big reward, you can go for it. If you just need that splash, you're not taking as much. So I like it. From a deck builder standpoint, I think this is fun. It's great. I love it almost as much as the other two agendas.
Yeah. I can see what you're saying. I can already think of a deck I would totally use this in. So,
well,
I'm excited.
At Gen Con we saw, I cannot remember his name. He's from Chile, the really nice guy. But he made top
Cristobal.
Cut. Yeah, he made top cut running Lannister Bera, and I believe he had to run the Alliance agenda to do it.
Uh-huh.
And I think if given the chance, he would much, much rather have had this one on there. And it's such a cool deck, and I think you're going to see, especially with like Voltron-y stuff, you're going to see this agenda used a lot. So I'm excited to see it. It opens things up, and variety is a spice of life and of Thrones.
Agreed.
It'll definitely be interesting. I still don't know how I feel about the prized keyword. Like, I get it. I just hate the idea of giving my opponent power like that easily. But
well, then don't run them.
Yeah, that's true. Then don't run them. But I want to.
Oh, well, I think so far the prize cards I've seen have been very well balanced. I haven't seen any there. I've gone, oh, that should be way more prized than it is, or there's no reason for that to be, you know, as low as it is, or like, it seemed like a very well placed double edged sword, which I think, if the thought is to harken back to the days of Doom, it does that very well. The risk reward is very strong, and I like it. It's exciting.
Right. Well, and it speeds up the game, which I have talked about loving. So I do like the idea of speeding up the game. That's true. Well, I think we'll all see prize. Yeah. I can't wait for the event or something that gives an opponent's character prize, or like an attachment that you put on their character that gives them like prize two or something.
That would be pretty sweet.
Oh, it's coming. I know it. I got a feeling. I really have no real information, but you know.
I'm sure, I have to imagine, if not at this point, at some point there will be more stuff that jacks with prized. If the point is to parallel Doom, I mean, there were Doom cards. I mean, this was very early on when I was playing, that increased the Doom count.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have to imagine that there will be cards like that one day.
Well,
and that would be a cool deck. That would be a cool deck. You know, do you want to play dudes? Because they die, you're screwed. I would like to see that form of control.
Yeah, well, what you should really get excited about is discarding a card from your hand to give Jock and Hagar prized 15. and discarding him and letting your opponent win.
Oh yeah, are there rules on how he works with prized yet?
I was gonna say, how's that gonna work?
It, I assume, is a qualified keyword.
Oh, so you have prized zero.
You would have prized with. You would have prized null. There would be no zero.
Oh,
actually,
that's bullshit.
Actually, per their entry in the FAQ, he just can't gain qualified keywords, you know.
Yep.
Which is a clarification instead of an errata, which was silly. But
well, how does that? Okay, I guess that's a discussion for another time. But I don't see how it's a qualified. I would see that he could get prized, but I don't see how he could get he couldn't gain prized at all. He can't gain no attachments except, well, it doesn't do any good. What if I want to just give my jockin prized zero?
Just because.
That's my God-given right as an American.
I believe the ruling, sure, however, is that you cannot.
That's bullshit. I want to see it in writing.
You can. It's on the FAQ.
That he can't gain prize? How do we know prize qualifier?
It has to be. With the number system, like, it has to be.
Yeah. Because we just said prized, literally the keyword, it does nothing by itself.
Daryl, if you just came up with that idea just now, I'm sure playtesters came up with it and said, Nate, what happens when I want to commit?
It's the exact same situation as immunity. Immunity by itself does nothing. You just sit there and go, okay, immune to...
That's true.
And you need that qualifier to do anything.
How long can you hold out that two? Like, for an entire round?
Yeah. Well, show us.
You might get called for stalling.
I guess.
Oh, yeah.
I guess we can all then just get behind the fact that jockin' still sucks then. If you have to make a clarification for that shitty jockin'.
I don't know, man. I'm going to... do something.
I'm gonna go build a jockin' deck and then come down there and.
I'm gonna run the neutral faction house card with the conquest agenda.
Why do I suddenly come from Texas?
Play jockin'.
I don't know.
That draw.
Anyways. Okay.
I do want to throw some thanks out to a couple listeners that were kind enough to send info over on. Stalik. We did get some stats there. They were kind of compiled. And I'm sure I'm going to butcher names here, but Tagore, I'm not dead sure. And Tomas were kind enough to send that stuff over. The full stats are just actually a great big listing, so everything is going to need tallied there. So I think maybe we'll hold off on really taking a look at that till I've got a little time to tally that and turn it into something a little more easy to compare to the other stats we already had. But to round out our fine episode today, we've got a couple more topics coming up. One I know Daryl had been itching to talk about. Daryl, why don't you lay that on us?
Alrighty, so... like a week ago, I was talking, well, I was thinking, first of all, and wow. So then I went ahead and, yeah, I know, I think, it's a new thing, and how's so I was actually up, it's pretty good, I was actually thinking about it on my way to work that day, and then it hit me again on my way home. I do work.
And you have a home.
A lot. It's a small box, but it does the trick.
The mice are cozy.
And I was thinking about it that night and then the next day. And so pretty soon I texted Will. I was like, you know, what the shit happened to the ally keyword? Or not keyword, trait. What happened to the ally trait? What happened to the pressure valve that was the ally trait? You know? We're not seeing it anymore, and we're seeing that players would be like, oh, man, I'm not going to play this guy because he's an ally, because there's so much ally hate. When was the last time a new card came out that actually did something good against allies? And I'm not talking about the shitty Martell character, okay? Because that sucks. I'm talking about something that actually does something decent against allies.
Been a Tricon.
Pretty sure it was, what, the Beyond the Narrow Sea cycle? Yeah. Yeah. Was that one cycle, two cycles ago? I can't remember.
Jorah.
Yeah, you had Jorah.
That's the last big one I remember.
Yep.
But I mean, and Dissension.
People play that stuff much anymore. And I think the big thing is no one plays Dissension anymore. You know why they don't play Dissension anymore?
Because no one's running good allies.
No, because the refugees got restricted, which means there are some houses that are awash in allies. Every other character Lanny gets, actually more than that, probably three-quarters of the characters Lanny gets are allies.
Right.
Half of the one's targets are mercenaries. But the problem is, you go up against Stark, you go up against Greyjoy, those cards, the those dissensions in your deck are literally dead cards right now.
Right.
And who wants to play those? Nobody.
Right. Exactly.
The game's too strong right now to run cards that are as situational as Dissension is right now.
Right.
If the refugees were out there, sure, go
right.
for it.
But the
but
problem
the,
is...
the impact is not guaranteed, and you can't risk a card slot on that right now.
Yeah, so I think the problem that's kind of causing it is that certain houses have a disparate representation of those negative traits. When we had the refugees around, every house played some of them. Some houses still had more, you know, like Lanny and the allies, that made them more vulnerable. But now that we've virtually eliminated negative traits from two houses, and let's be honest, probably most of the time from Vera as well, that means that the houses that are supposed to have it as a weakness don't have to fear it because it doesn't really get played. You know? Like, I would like to see a few allies turn up in these other houses, you know, allies that they would want to play that would bring the whole gamble back into scope for the game at large.
You'll see ally hate when there are allies you need to hate. And right now... Well,
that's the point, yeah.
You don't see them being played.
Right. Well, when was the last time a quality ally was printed? A quality mercenary? You know, there's definitely been some of those printed, mainly the
Looks
Long
like
Lances.
Really,
I'd say Braun. I'd say Braun was the last ally I went wow about. Was Reverse Deadly Braun.
Reverse Deadly
really?
Braun.
He was the last one. You know, I'm going to run a quick search here for allies
right.
In the current cycle. Let's see what we got.
Like,
cycle.
Right. And I get that we don't.
Oh,
want
Janos
to play
Slint
allies.
Right there. Oberyn Shieldbearer. Those two right there are pretty wow allies, I think.
Yeah, but they're not in houses. Well, especially the Martell is not one where I hate the allies. I mean, I still stick Varys and Oakheart in most decks.
See,
so, I mean, I have some.
I wind up not going with Varys because if I'm up against, say, Stark, I can't even bring him out of Shadows. Now,
true.
Oakheart I still play because I can always opt not to play Oakheart and just run with him in challenge.
Or just drop him for the
to.
Renowned dude, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But the four stuff that just discards an ally like as its primary function, which I'm putting Varys in that boat since he would discard himself if there's not another one on the board, is too big of a gamble on my part now, which makes allies not a gamble.
I normally run Lannister, I would say 9 times out of 10, and my anti-ally tech is usually just House Divideds, because like you said, I have a ton of them, so I'll usually have one on the board. If you play one I hate, I'll drop another one and get him out of there.
Yeah, and the thing is, that is actually
strong. Which is silly, I'm using
strong,
allies as a weapon.
That's even strong against the other houses that are like zero negative trait houses, like Greyjoy, because they have positive traits out the wazoo that match up. You know, you can bounce Ironborn with that. It's not, you know, limited to just the negative traits.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think the negative traits, it's a balance. You'll see the hate for it when there's cards worth hating that make huge splashes in the game. And more important, like you said, from every house. And with it being refugee, and there are you don't see any other refugees getting reprinted. I mean, other than the ones that are all restricted in Gilly, I can't think of a refugee I even see on a pseudo-regular basis at any house.
Yeah, you know, are there any other refugees available?
The Lost Spearman.
Now, yeah, I was going to say, the Lost Spearman is an option. Freeman may start seeing some more play now that there's some neat wildling stuff.
But is that
especially
enough
out of land? And that's about it.
Right.
Well, but is that really going to get you to play Dissensions?
Freeman,
it's to hit two of them.
No. Yeah.
So here's my thing. I think they hit it on the head for the most part in giving the Long Lances the mercenary trait. At least it's a negative trait. I mean, still not an ally, but that card is really, really good. And giving it a negative trait, I feel like, is what you should do. I feel like the majority of awesome cards should have that ally trait, at least if they're you know, non-unique and they're a quality card. Like, they should be able to get discard easily. Because, let's face it, a lot of the cards that get rid of these characters aren't that good. Like, they're decent. Shadows of Varus is decent. Okart, yeah, he's got renown. Like, that's decent.
Dissension Jorah, is Daria.
Yeah, Jorah, right. He doesn't have exactly renown or anything.
But those are in Targ, okay. Those are the houses that already have the negative. The best weapons, I feel like, are in houses that have the negative keywords. They're not in.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. The houses that have the negative traits are the houses that get the hate. So, like, Targ has a lot of mercs, and they've got Jorah and Daario. Lani has a lot of allies, and they've got Okart, and, you know, to that connected sort of extent, they've got House Divided.
Yeah, and they run, and you usually, that's obviously changing now, but Lannister's been one of the popular Shadows houses, so even if you have to leave Varys in Shadows, he's a card you're going to see in that deck. Mm-hmm. So you're not seeing board-wide, Dissension was that board-wide ally hate, and with the refugee side of it being eliminated, essentially, you're not seeing a lot of play. Which is sad, because, yeah, I don't think the ally trait, I hardly think about it anymore, to be completely honest with you. Now,
agreed.
I did get douched over big time today. I was running, kept getting my blue-lipped warlocks, got Varys out of there, and I forget what else he did to get rid of it. And I was just, because you mentioned earlier that this might be a conversation, I was like, and here I am having a game where the ally trait is just screwing me big time. So every once in a while you still see it, but I don't think it's enough to deter deck building. Yeah. Not in the slightest.
So, okay, here's a related question, especially since we're talking about some of the other negative traits. It looks like we're going to be getting a mercenary theme in that. In this next set, do we think if we get more of these neutral mercenaries, do we think that will help push, you know, the negative trait appearance into some of these houses that don't normally get it, like, say, Stark?
But how much merc hate do we have? We have the two guys in Targ and Okart.
Well, and Dissension also hits mercs.
Yeah.
It's allies, mercs, or
refugees. I mean, it's been the same hate for a while.
So,
you know?
Yeah, so that's kind of what I'm thinking. If we have enough mercs that start turning up, then Dissension becomes playable again, then ally actually becomes a negative trait. Yeah.
I don't know how much you'll see it, because, I mean, Dissension is cool, you know, because it just hits it and it's gone, but you have all these events that are more versatile than that, like a terminal scheme. So if there's an ally or a merc that you hate that much, just kill it right there. Or, I don't know, I just think there's other effects, especially out of events, that are more impactful than hitting one guy. Unless you can do some trait manipulation, I just don't see it being, I don't see Dissension being that much more prolific, and that hate's already been there, and you still run it. Like, the hate hasn't changed, like you said. I just think the risk is not great enough to even with those cards in the game, even if you saw them a lot, because you see Okart out of almost every Martell and Lani deck, and you see usually either Daario or Jorah, at least one of them, just because they're nice on their own, even if they don't trigger. I just don't think about them. I think there needs to be more hate, and I don't see, even though those cards can only be so well played because of the houses they're in. Well,
see, the argument that I was going for, we could use more hate, sure, but I was thinking we should stick the ally trait on more stuff. Like,
would do it.
Make the hate make you at least think about splashing in the hate. Now, I mean, sure.
Make people need the hate,
but
basically.
If you're in Stark, what is your hate? Other than Dissension, what is your hate?
Nothing.
And I think Dissension.
Shadows Varus.
Right.
Okay, so that's two cards, and with all the great events in Stark, you're going to put Dissension in when you can just kill it or anything else they have?
Sure, that's true.
I think you need more prolific, more easily triggerable.
The
hate that's out, even if it was in everything, would not change my opinion on allies. It's an accepted risk, kind of like Prized is. I just accept that there are some drawbacks to this card that I may or may not see. It's just like any of those things with, like, kings. It's like, if it's the only king, it's just part of the card. And I think when you you just choose to play it, and I don't think that it makes that big of a difference.
Right. Well, I don't know if more ally hate is necessarily even the answer, because I just think there are a lot of quality cards, like Wicked Seductress. I'm looking right at her. She whenever she kneels, you kneel a character without an intrigue icon. Like, that is really good. if she didn't have the ally trait, she'd probably see a lot more play.
She should just see a lot more play.
Right. Well, and the idea is maybe we can defeat less errata, less restriction by sticking the ally trait on more of these problem characters.
I don't think it would change anything.
Really?
You're only running one of, because all four of those guys that can hit the ally or merc are unique, so you're only running one ofs.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it would take a wow level card in every house that you know they're running probably in triplicate or mm-hmm. bones me so bad I cannot function with it on the board for me mm-hmm. to even think about Dissension out of most decks. Maybe choke. Maybe I still run it in choke because of all the gold weenies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And usually allies are cheap, efficient dudes. But right. unless I'm running choke, and even choke's getting some kick-ass events, uh-huh. I just don't see a house where it even makes my like top 80 that I'm looking at cutting down from.
80, wow. I still think it's got some pluses. You know, it gets played in marshalling and doesn't have to wait and interact with you winning challenges or anything like a lot of the other examples you happen to pick off the top of your head there.
I don't want to put deck building into a tunnel where you absolutely have to have ally hate. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm saying make some of these cards like the Northern Cavalry Flank or the Hammerhorn Raiders and some of these other armies and some of these other powerful cards allies, so that they're more easily dealt with, so that there's a bigger risk. And now, granted, in this new set, we have Prized coming out, which, that is a fantastic idea in not making house. But why drop the idea of allies for Prized? You know, like, allies, it was working fine. There's a lot of decent cards that don't see play, like the Warrior's Sons, who I think are pretty decent. Like, you just get to put a location into play. An influence-providing location that could cost 2 gold, like a King's Road Fiefdom. You just get to put it in play if you want to challenge with them. Like, that's really good. They'd see a lot more play if they weren't allies.
I don't, from just the people I talk to, I don't think the ally trait deters anyone from running a good enough card anymore. I don't think it does. I accept that risk, and it's not that big. It's really not. Like, if I'm going against a Stark player, I know I'm not going to see that hate. I don't think changing... And if, like, the game gets so big where, like, there's all these awesome allies and people, you're seeing more hate, if Stark wants to change out Die by the Sword or No Quarter or To Be a Wolf or any of those events like that mm-hmm. for Dissension to just discard one of my allies, by all means, I'm not going to complain with that deck building decision. That's probably better for me than my opponent in the long run. So I just don't. There needs to be more hate for that risk to be there. I don't feel that risk with the current 5 options that we have that hit allies.
Maybe you're right. I just still don't feel like there's enough quality allies even out there. Enough cards with the ally trait to warrant more hate. Because decent cards aren't being played as is now because of the ally trait. And that's,
I don't think that's
what I think. I really like Warrior's Sons and Wicked Seductress. Like, then I really them. Like this. Darryl, and I like bad them. Cards. I do run Wicked Seductresses.
Tell you what, Darryl.
I do run them in my side decks.
And go play, like, 10, 15 games on Octagon this week and right. come back here and tell me how many times the ally trait bone.
Right. But what I'm saying is that why don't some of those really good cards that are being printed now have the ally trait where you have to talk about, like, oh, man, you know, something needs to happen to them.
Because I think people realize that discussion wasn't happening.
Maybe.
I don't think that discussion was happening, and once you don't fear the hate, what's the point of putting it on there?
Maybe you're right.
You know?
You know, the bizarre thing is, I think, in a way, you guys are both arguing, and, you know, me as well, though I am maybe not as strident in my views as you guys, but I think we're actually kind of arguing from the same beginning point, that, you know, the ally trait has become something where it doesn't matter. It just sounds like maybe we differ a little on whether that is something that needs rectified or not.
I think...
At least that's the impression I'm getting.
Yeah, I think there definitely needs to be... Ally needs to be more of a risk. It kind of, like, to mirror Prize, which is what Darryl was saying, and I agree with 100%. you know, it's a good way to collar cards, and the more creative ways we can build drawbacks and ways to balance cards, the better, because then it allows for more quirky, cool abilities or different stat combos and whatnot. I do think it needs to change, but I don't think making more better allies helps. I think you need more solutions. Like an event, if there was an event or a location, something repeatable would do it. Something neutral and repeatable would do it. Or something wide sweeping that you saw a lot. Like, kind of like, oh shoot, I'm forgetting the event where you kneel X influence to discard X neutrals.
Too proud to bow.
You should know that card.
Yeah. Like that for allies would be sick and would make me think long and hard about running a bunch of allies.
Right, but how many decks that you construct these days have a fair amount of allies in them?
Pretty much everything I build out of Lannister.
I guess if you're Lannister.
Well, that's because you're playing the ally house. And that's my issue is there are a couple houses where 50% of their cards, as a rough number, have those traits. And then there's a couple of houses that just don't. No card you will see anyone playing in those houses will ever have that trait with the current card pool.
Yeah.
And I think that's a problem.
I don't think I can name a Greyjoy ally.
They just now got one.
What's his name?
Famous Deckhand. They just got that.
Changed the way I look at Greyjoy.
The one where nobles can't be non-nobles can't be reduced.
Oh.
Farwind,
yes. Ooh. Thank you.
But, like, here's the thing.
I don't think Greyjoy cares. I've never heard. He's good. He's good. It's a great choke ability. And do you hear anyone being like, oh, I'd stick him in, but he's an ally? No. No one says that. Right. He is in every choke deck.
You know, we've got cards like Cyrillian Pain and Shadowstalker, like and Reverse Deadly Brawn. Like, those are good characters. Those are good characters. They are. Like, those abilities are awesome, but they have the ally traits, so people don't play them. What I'm saying is, the reason
people
don't...
Actually, with those examples, I think it's the two strength that tends to hit things more, like with Pain. I think, as far as the ally trait goes... He's probably totally playable right now, but I think the two strength is a bigger issue.
Yeah, 4 for 2.
Right. Well, no one. Here's the thing: nobody wants to see a full. You know, you spend 4 gold and then it all of a sudden get discarded. That's fine. I am okay right now with these cards not seeing play. That's not what I'm talking about, though. What I'm talking about is though how you can battle. You know, the imbalance of a game is just sticking this trait, this negative trait, which you've said there's not a lot of hate out there, yet people still fear it and don't play these good cards. Shadowstalker is a good card. Like, it has to attack alone. Hello, it has stealth. Yes, it has to be winner. That's fine. It's easier to make it winner now than it ever has been before.
Until that new plot comes out.
Then you're going to be really sad. It can hit your crown and your raven, but... You know, I feel like we'd have less of a problem. Now, I don't necessarily know. Maybe I'm arguing an argument that doesn't really exist. I mean, how many characters are there right now where they are a serious problem? I think the problem lately people have been talking about, you know, agendas and things like that. But, we could defeat having problems with characters by making them allies.
I don't think that would solve any. I'd be interested. Will, can you post something on the Facebook page, like a poll, and see how many people don't run characters just because they're allies?
I can try. I'm going to go ahead and warn listeners, though, that come looking for that poll. Facebook, some time ago, took away the capability for fan pages to run polls.
What?
Which... is asinine, in my opinion.
They did?
But it means yes.
Or they just made it harder to do.
No. They took away the built-in ability to do it. Because I went to go do that like 6 months ago, and I couldn't find the feature, and I was like, what the heck? I know Daryl did it. I've got to be able to find this.
Yeah.
It wasn't that long ago when he set one up for us, and I started reading about it and looking for stuff, and they took the feature away.
Interesting.
Yeah. So basically, if I post something, it'll probably be a link to somewhere to run a poll.
Right.
That's fine. There's always the comments section, but
right.
I believe Daryl's argument if people really are not running cards because they're allies. But to be frank, I don't think
It's
I personally, the people that I've helped build decks with, have never gone, "That's not, he's an ally."
How
I
many
just
people
don't hear that phrase?
Right. Okay. Well, think about how many four cost allies anyone runs. Name one four cost ally that you put in your deck.
Well, name a four cost ally that is worth his like
Braun.
Is it Payne?
Braun is worth it.
And I play him.
How about Marshalling Salador Saan, who I
yeah.
have played. I absolutely play him. Like
even
I play him, not
with
a lot
the
of people
two strength,
do.
He's good.
Yeah, but not a lot of people do. And that's the point, though. The point is that Salador Saan is a good character. That's not the point. But not very many people play him because he has that ally. And I think that we could defeat a lot of problems that we have in the future with overpowered characters that need to be restricted or anything like that by simply putting the ally trait on them. And obviously Castellan of the Rock is the exception to the rule. Like that, I mean, repeatable Neil is absurdly good, as we've seen. I mean the ally trait is the reason why Arrogant Contender isn't in every bear deck ever. Like
All right. Well, speaking of the meta at large, I think our next and final topic for this week deals with that pretty well. I'll let Daryl explain what the last one was. So, Kyle, you wanna lay this one out for the listeners?
No.
No. Okay, that's what I get for trying to break him in too early. He's still green. He can't run with us the way
I remember
gold hats
three
are.
Talks, three topics, two on a bad day. I don't even know
that's
where
okay.
we are anymore.
Okay, that's all right, man.
That's okay. That's okay. I'll go with it then. We are going to return after it has been long awaited. We are returning Berlitha to the show. For anyone who's uncertain what the heck that means, it's a whatchamacallit, anagram? Is that the word I'm looking for? For ban, erratic, acronym. There we go. Anagrams are more fun.
Yeah, like Torchwood is an anagram.
Yes.
For Doctor Who.
Yes, it is. Which I actually just discovered while watching a couple months ago. I was pretty excited when I realized that. So it stands for BATA. Ban, errata, restrict, or leave it the hell alone. And I think there's been a good bit of talk about a particular card kind of being generated lately in some of the discussions and the Skype group some. And oddly enough, I saw started today in the Card Game DB boards, like the same day we were already going to start discussing this on the show, someone started a Berlitha thread on this same card. Knights of the Hollow Hill. So, what do we think? What does the situation look like now, and what needs to be done, if anything?
Not a damn thing. And that's all I'm gonna... No, it's not, but... No, it's fine. It's great. Get off the poor guy's back. If we take this away from Greg, what's he got? Flea Bottom?
No one really wants to claim Flea Bottom, I do admit.
I think Flea Bottom's decent.
The card is fine. The card is balanced. It's cool. It's different. It's out of every house. Leave it alone. If there are problems with something interacting with it, look at those cards, not it.
I mean, we have seen, though... it's making up a good bit of the field, at what Gen Con and Worlds and, as far as I know, Stalic, it was the most represented actual agenda.
Then start making cooler things with setup on it. Make the setup more important.
Well, I think the setup is already fairly important.
Well, if not Hollow Hill is... kicking ass, and obviously...
Well, here's the thing. I personally, right now, I'm going to say leave it alone. But I'll
really?
Go ahead and jump
wow.
into this.
This is less of a discussion than I was expecting.
Hang on. I say leave it alone because I do think it's fine where it's at. We are seeing cards being printed now that, you know, as far as the command mechanic, that's going to be, you know, make it easier to do things like turn one and this, that, and the other. If I were to do one thing to Knights of the Hollow Hill, and let's not forget really fast, let's not forget that the setup can be a big deal. You can start off 4 or 5 cards in your setup, and let's not forget you're also digging through your deck and replacing those cards. You know, the setup is one of the reasons why House of Dreams is kept in check and not as insane as we thought it was. It was because the setup is still very key. And the only drawback to that deck. Anyways, if we were to errata Knights of the Hollow Hill, I would think one, maybe two things. Probably just the first, which is make it a 2 gold, 1 influence, 1 initiative. My other thought would be make it a 1 gold, 1 initiative, 1 influence, or whatever, you know. That's my only idea. If we were to do anything to it, as far as an errata goes, like I said, I don't feel as of right now that it needs to be messed with. I think that the non setup is fine as it is now. Like that takes an entire part of the game out of the picture for you. It's not, hey, you get to pick, you know, you know, 2 gold worth of stuff or 3 gold or whatever. It's, hey, you don't get a setup and you get only one mulligan in this game. You can't even be like, okay, well, I'll try to mull down to 4 and see if I get something. No, you don't get a you don't get a second mulligan. It's just one. But I would say if we were to do something to it, hey, one less influence, I bet, would make a pretty big
deal. Would cripple that deck.
Yeah.
Or that agenda. Cripple.
I'm kind of curious. It does seem like a lot of what that agenda seems to run on, no matter what house it's in right now, is the influence. I mean, we can one of the most notable things, we can look back at Bruno's House of Pain at Worlds last year. I mean, and the influence was a huge, huge part of that deck with you know, being Targ and all the ambush mechanics and such. You know, we've heard various types of Martell, Knights of the Hollow Hill, where Westeros bleeds. And the Prince's Plans are huge things. And those are expensive influence effects at 4. Knights of the Hollow Hill puts you halfway there. Even this year, say, Greg's Character Light deck, it was even using the influence sometimes for things like Desperate Measures and... I always get the name wrong. Storm the Gates? Or is that the... Stark event. Okay. Then look at the Knights of the Hollow Hill stuff in Barra. This year, Chad was playing it at Worlds, and I apologize. Now I the name eludes me that won it at Stalik. I had it in front of me a moment ago, and now I forgot. With, you know, things like See Who Is Stronger. The influence is, I think, really what powers that. Now, the question is that too much? Is it too easy to play things like, for instance, Westeros Bleeds?
I think it's fine. I really do. You see, I mean, the houses that take advantage of it, you're seeing, you know, really strong builds right now to Martell and obviously Targ and even now Barra. But I don't look at that agenda, and nothing about it makes me go, wow, you need changed. I mean, the 2 influence is great, the initiative is great, and if you can't take advantage of all 3 bonuses, you are going to get steamrolled. And I think that's why for a long time, you still don't really see, you know, Stark Hollow Hill or Greyjoy Hollow Hill or Lannister Hollow Hill, because if you can't take advantage of all 3 of those resources consistently and effectively, you are going to get rocked.
Right. And it's not like there's only one. Well, right now there's not only like if there's only one house to play Knights of the Hollow Hill out of. And, you know, it's all those houses that also utilize Knights of the Hollow Hill better than others have great decks that don't use that agenda.
Yeah, I don't think that agenda does a lot to warp the meta. it's, and like you said, the setup is huge, especially with the way the game is. And if you think that Hollow Hill is getting to a point where it's too advantageous, you need to look at the effects and the costs that that are coming into the game. Do right. things like more efficient gold bonuses. Instead of all these zero cost reducers, have some kind of way to give gold bonuses since the agenda can't get that. Or like Vargo Hoat tonight, you know, it yields your house card. Well, if you're keying off that two influence, switch that first turn, play him, take that away. I mean, that's big.
Yeah. Yeah, so, for a turn at least. Now, I mean, don't forget on the flip side, Knights of Hollow Hill is actually getting some big pluses right now in anything dealing with the command mechanic, because you are going to be down on command for certainly the first two turns, maybe for another turn or two after that, depending on, you know, these decks tend to be slower control decks that build up to that, you know, card parity and then into inevitability.
Well, if that's the way you want to go, like, let's look at the new, what's it, Red Wine Straits?
Yep, that's the big one I'm thinking of.
I mean, now you get 10 gold. If you're keying off of cards at command, I mean, you have to build and play a certain way. Like, you have to play a ton of stuff with it. I mean, you're going to do something with that gold. But if your plan is to key off of command, you have to watch what you're doing. You have to watch board control, and you have to let your opponent stay up. Like, there's so many subtle things and limitations built into that agenda. I think it balances itself really nicely. And even with those new plots, I don't see Hollow Hill being a monster you can't control.
Here's the thing. If we let aggro become a actual competitive deck in Game of Thrones, I'm not just talking about like, oh, that's kind of fun and neat to play. No, I'm talking about a good deck, then we're not having this discussion. Okay? True, Knights of Hollow Hill decks do use Negotiations at the Great Sept. Absolutely they do. But that was still a key card for aggro decks that they lost. And people are like, oh, well, they just restrict it. Well, the problem is a lot of those other good cards are restricted too that those aggro decks need.
I still think it's a huge... There are a lot of Hollow Hill games where, I mean, the game becomes, can you force the Hollow Hill deck to Valor early? Or what about the mirror match? I mean, what do you do if your opening plot, if you've keyed everything around Red Wine Straits or Befouled River? Is that what it's called?
Cards? Befouled River.
Or whatever your opening is, if it keys off that command...
It doesn't always have to be opening. I think they've got a really strong play in Rally Cry a couple turns into the game, for instance.
But, I mean, a couple turns in, so much can have happened. I mean, a Valor changes everything. I don't feel like the agenda has ever come off to me as something needs to be changed here. And like, yeah, I said, if you're looking at problems with the agenda, look at the things that are having a problem with it, not the other way around. Or look at the meta state and how you can change the cards that are coming out to lean things in favor of decks that have a setup, or that Hollow Hill cannot take advantage of.
Yeah.
Like, effects that kneel a house card. If there were cool things and like the old massing at Twilight, you had to kneel your house card and draw
three cards.
I don't know
if we should go that far.
I don't think we need that, but I'm saying that was an effect, a powerful, universal effect that you had to kneel your house card for.
Right. Well, yeah, and I like that idea. Add more things where you have to kneel the house card to do if you're having a problem with it. But I've never felt that Knights of Hollow Hill was absurd. And full disclosure here, you guys know, obviously, Greg is on the show. Greg is one of our really good friends. We love Greg. But if Greg had a card that we thought was ridiculous, we would say so. Like, we think Cold Hands is pretty insane. Is he breaking the game? I couldn't tell you that right now. But there's a lot of awe that goes into that. And it will be interesting to watch. But if Knights of Hollow Hill was truly a problem by itself in a vacuum, then I would say so. But I don't think that's the case. I think that aggro just needs more support.
And there's still a lot of cycle to go.
Speaking of aggro, though, J.C. Wama on that thread espoused a theory that I actually find very interesting right now. He's talking about the agenda and such, right? And aggro and control. Now, I want you guys to think a little bit, and you think about your average aggro deck, be it Rush or, you know, aggro in Thrones, right? And think about what agendas you see play with some of those decks, right? You're probably seeing Siege of Winterfell, right? You're probably seeing Power Behind the Throne. You're probably seeing the new Noble Cause, maybe the new Old Way, and things like that, okay? Now, flip the other direction and think about your control decks. Which agendas are you seeing there? You're seeing Knights of the Hollow Hill and, well, you used to see Maesters until it got restricted and errated into Oblivion. And right now, that's pretty much it. So he says, you know, maybe that's the issue. Maybe we actually need a couple more control-oriented agendas because people just don't have many choices that are really viable right now on the control end. So they just gravitate into Hollow Hill. And I think that's a really good point now that he drew my attention to it.
Right.
I mean, he's right. I mean, I think the new ICE agenda will give houses alternatives, especially if some more winter support comes out for maybe non-traditional wintry houses or just essentially winter tech for not Greyjoy Choke. Let's just put it at that. I think we'll do a lot for that. And I mean, you used to see Shadows a lot, the Shadows agenda, but now that some of the cards that you would want to get out of house, like the Blade, are restricted, it makes that a much harder choice for me.
Yeah.
So I think he's right. I don't think you see a lot of that. You see a lot of no agenda, maybe Kevin. I don't know. I think there's a good point there about control oriented agendas.
Right.
And that's something to think about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it also makes influence super easy, and that's a part of it, is how difficult they made getting 2 influence or 3 influence or 4 influence on the board. Like that was tough. That's labor intensive.
You know, it is
a lot of gold.
Yeah,
and so a lot of card slots.
It makes me wonder if some of that would ease up if, again, you know, I keep looking at old CCG cards. There used to be an old plot. It was only like a 3-2-1, but it let you search out an influence providing a card of cost 1 or less and put it into play. And I wonder if some of that push would ease up if people had that available to them. They didn't have to go, well, I've got to play Knights of the Hollow Hill to guarantee some starting influence.
Right.
When they could rely on a plot and, you know, use that slot on something else.
Hands down. I mean, if you can go get the bonuses, I mean, people talk about Hollow, they're like, well, it's kind of like a Crossroads and a Fiefdom. And, I mean, they talk about it's kind of like flopping blank.
Right.
If you can get blank in a much easier way or a less costly way consistently, you'll see less of it.
Yeah.
But right now, there's all these super efficient reducers with the streets and the free cities, and there's all these kind of different ways that gets around Hollow Hill because it can still run all of those.
Right.
So I think if you see the meta, if you pump the things that Hollow Hill does, so it's not the only game in town, or exploit or use resources that Hollow Hill can't touch, you will naturally curb it. So I'm curious to see how the rest of the cycle goes and to see how, because there's a lot of cards between now and next regional season.
Yeah.
So to see how things go the rest of the way with that agenda. But I would, no way have I ever considered for a moment thinking that card needs touched.
Right. Well, Game of Thrones has always been, since day one, really, the control deck has been like the deck to run in Game of Thrones. Now, I didn't play CCG, and there definitely was a time where there was sort of kind of an aggro thing when you could run the Night's Watch and the Wildlings together, but even those decks had a fair amount of control mixed in.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's always been there, and somebody in a thread, and I don't remember who it was, in the thread that birthed this thread here that we're talking about, was talking about, well,
thing going on.
Yeah, well, yeah. Was it this thread is the birth baby of a
of a
restricted thread where Knights of the Hollow Hill got brought up. Anywho, and they were talking about how in a healthy meta or a healthy game or whatever, control should always be like the dominant factor. And I don't buy that at all. That doesn't make any sense. I get that, you know, if you take the name of the game, you're just like, the Game of Thrones. Sure, there's going to be like a lot of intrigue there. But man, bitches die. Bitches get destroyed. Shit gets blown up. Dreams get crushed. Like, I think in a healthy game, you know, everything is possible. The aggro decks, the control decks, the tempo, kind of the you know, pretty aggressive with a touch of control is a thing. And I think that right now the game is in a halfway decent place. I liked it better before they destroyed the aggro decks. They need to find a nice way to balance what the aggro decks can take advantage of and make that not as accessible to the control decks. And how you do that, I'm not completely sure. I'm, you know, I
don't
know yet.
They don't pay you to answer those questions.
Yeah, exactly. That's not my job, okay?
I mean, you kind of see it. Dothraki did pretty well at both Worlds and Stalic. I mean, it was at least represented in the top cut.
Yeah, Dothraki's, and that's a cool deck, and that's a very aggressive deck. And if we can just kind of build from that. And, you know, some of the, if you're not running an agenda tech, definitely helps. And that was one of my ideas, and granted, I don't take this to heart. Take it, obviously, with everything else I say, and that is with a grain of salt. But one idea I had was take negotiations off of the restricted list and give it the errata text. If you're not running an agenda or if you're running a character agenda, then it has its effect. You know, just make it less accessible to some of those control decks, some of those nice Hollow Hill decks.
That wouldn't necessarily be. I don't know about character though, because I mean, then you got Quentin.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I ran when I ran Quentin.
Yeah.
I ran negotiations. It's that good, and that card is. But the problem with that card is it's that good. I mean, it is insane. Two claim. I mean, yeah, right. You can't run cities, but or at least not well. I mean, it's that good, and so yeah. But I mean, aggro requires draw. And he requires a lot of resources. And so I think there are definitely things that can come out to help that. And I think if this cycle continues going where it is, and, I mean, you're seeing a lot of efficient dudes, a lot of good dudes
that
I think would
go
in an aggro deck. And if the theme really is here kind of to reinforce themes and to kind of pump up what we already have, especially with prized, I think prized would be great for aggro. I mean, you're running risks, but I think you'll see it.
Yeah, and a lot of those characters are efficient, which is what's great for an aggro deck. You want super cost-efficient guys.
Well,
if he's trying to spit out a bunch of them.
If counterplot is what you say it is, Laney aggro could be a thing. Lay out a ton of beefcake, and then just when the Valor turns here, just rain on the parade.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think, however, we're drifting pretty far afield from the original topic at hand at this point. Now, as far as Knights of the Hollow Hill itself goes, there was something that I found kind of interesting that Kyle was bringing up about it being the equivalent of setting up, you know, X cards. So stat-wise, it comes out to being, a King's Road Fiefdom and a Lannisport Treasury on setup, which is two cards there that you're, you know, effectively getting as your setup in a pretty big resource boost. That doesn't seem I don't know, as far as the fact that you're giving up setup as a penalty, when you look at it as what cards would be the equivalent in stats, I don't know, it puts it in a bit of a different perspective to me and doesn't seem like you are giving up as much as I thought before. I don't know. Just
well,
an interesting perspective.
Well, I think it's the dig and the characters and with other houses getting so, like, being able to drop those zero-cost locations and draw back up. I mean, there's a lot there that first turn going in, you are going to be an underdog. You star.
Well, let's not forget that the Knights of the Hollow Hill decks don't run those zero-cost locations. One, because, you know, they can't get anything out of them, and two, they don't need them.
No, I meant the streets.
I mean?
Like the streets, or River Row, or Street of Silk. I mean, I still definitely run all those.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you don't get your gold locations, and that kind of sucks.
Right, and that frees up. That's true. It frees up for you to do other things, though, with that Knights of the Hollow Hill deck. You're like, well, I don't need income because I get the +2 gold, so now I can fill it with all these other things. I mean don't get me wrong. It's a good agenda. That's, you know, there's no question there, but I think we can just bring the rest of the game up to where it needs to be, and we wouldn't be having this discussion. We didn't have this discussion a couple of years ago.
We didn't have. Whatever. Did we really have it after Bruno won? I don't remember hearing rumblings that
the
problem
true.
Was Hollow Hill. You know, I think now that there's Hollow Hill built out of different houses, and we're seeing
like every house now.
I don't think every house, but a lot of houses. And I think people are like, whoa, this agenda's good out of a lot of things. I don't think that makes it bad. Is Knights bad because you can play it out of different houses? Like, I don't think that makes it OP. That makes it versatile. And an agenda that skews deck building as much as Hollow Hill being good in all the houses, I think is a good thing. I mean, I've played Hollow Hill out of every house besides maybe Greyjoy.
You know, you mentioned that we weren't having this discussion a couple of years ago. Can I remind everyone that it wasn't that long ago when we actually had the discussion that Knights of Hollow Hill was UP, you might say, underpowered? Like, the general perception for quite a while after it came out was that it was kind of, meh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Setup was too key for too long there.
It's funny. Well, yeah, and with the restriction of the refugees and stuff will change that. But it's funny how a meta changes and how big of a deal the FAQ is and how that's a balancing and how, you know, there's a fair amount of thought that goes into it. I don't think for a second that Nate or Damon or anyone else who works for FFG is just like, let's just, you know, restrict this, or let's just make this neutral house only.
I think Nate does. Like, I think he just spins a wheel and calls it a day.
Yeah, he throws a dartboard at my old deck list with the army deck. Yeah. No, but you're right, Daryl. It shows kind of like that the butterfly effect here. Something like, and I think you're on the right track, something like restricting the refugees suddenly really downplays setup compared to what it was before then. And once you do that, Knights of the Hollow Hill starts looking a lot better.
I think with prized and flops becoming the potential for extremely strong flops becoming higher with prized, I think you will see that agenda cool off. And again, with these other new house-specific agendas that are so strong, or at least exciting at the very least, I think you will see the agenda naturally cool off some. Yeah. That's just my thought. I don't think, again, I think part of the reason this discussion drifts is me and Daryl completely agree. I don't think there's any reason at this point to touch it.
Yeah, yeah. This is something I think it would have been advantageous to really go out of our way to track down someone who feels strongly that it should be restricted so we could go ahead and have it on the show. The unfortunate part is I think I also agree. I was trying to play devil's advocate a little bit and bring up some of those other points. But really, overall, I just don't think that it's bad for the meta. And I kind of think Daryl's right. It's in about the right place still, I think. Knights of Hollow Hill, that is. But a few other aspects of the meta have kind of trailed off right now. If they just swing back up a little bit, I think things even out a little bit better than actually having to change the agenda.
I think that what the community needs to realize is the problem isn't with Knights of the Hollow Hill. The problem is with control dominating the game like it is.
But is it really? I mean, look at look at like that. I don't think that Barra deck has a ton of control in it. That took that one Stalic, that took second at Worlds. I didn't feel like it was a controlled deck. I mean,
did that deck not run Storm the Gates and Westeros Bleeds and stuff?
I mean, obviously.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I'm just curious.
I think every deck who's not like all decks need to be well rounded right now. There was an article I read a long time ago about what a deck needs to be tier one. It needs to have answers. You need to be able to do like go by your script and jack with your opponents at little no cost. So I love Wildlings because Wildlings are just big angry beefcakes, and then you run those spikes, and it's like an overpowered frozen solid, and it's this cheap efficient card that gives you easy control.
Yeah.
While still being a primarily aggro deck, and I don't think Thrones is as this card pool is getting bigger and stronger. Is very quickly getting away from these traditional archetypes, and I mean, yes, you kind of lean one way or the other,
right?
But like, what was like Quentin? Was Quentin really a control deck? I mean, you have a ton of these big, you run in the Bannermen and all these big beefy knight dudes. Is
I mean, it was
aggro?
A draw.
Is it rush? I feel like the best decks you can't put into a corner like that.
Well, yeah, there were a lot of tools in Quentin. That's true. A lot of draw, some control, and I absolutely rush there. Near the end of the game, absolutely, they could totally get up there. That's true. I mean, I think there's still an archetype for that. I think we call that tempo, but
yeah,
where you've got the aggro with the control elements.
Or but, potentially aggro control. But
I mean, you look at...
Oh.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, for reference, I did go double-check the winning deck in Stalic for Daryl. And event-wise, the only mass reset that he's got there
is favorable
events.
Ground.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I looked it up. It has like no locations other than like the seas and the seat of powers, and it pretty much just like it just doesn't need locations. It says I don't need these cards to win this game, which is cool, and I like it, but it's not super control-y. But there are, I mean, favorable ground is definitely a control card. And is kind of key to that deck a little bit. Not key, but very strong in that deck. But I wouldn't call it a control deck. I mean, a deck that's got a bajillion characters is not a control deck. But it has some control elements.
Mm-hmm.
I think... I don't know. I don't feel like aggro is getting shat on anywhere near as bad. I mean, look at that Lanny deck. Mm. Like, the Brigands and stuff. I mean, Lanny aggro is coming up. I'm calling that shot now for next regional season. Lanny aggro is coming up.
I mean, I could see that, but, I mean, Pentoshi Manor and, I mean, House Divided, like, come on, man.
It's Lannister, though. Like, if you're going to, like, house with control elements, like, that should be the control house.
Yeah, a more consistent, probably, well, definitely, than Martell. Also, when was the last time you saw the Scourge being played? Holy shit.
Pretty much now.
Talk about the restricted list crushing that.
Yeah. Well, there are some cards that the restricted list has damned, and there are other ones that I don't feel like it did anything. Like, can we talk about Stark Restricted right now and what kind of a joke that is?
Well, I think, again, that's probably...
I mean, let's not talk about that.
We should talk about it again.
Yeah, one day.
Tell you what.
Point.
Yes, we can come back around to that for another topic. And
if anyone finds me at a bar, we can talk about Stark Restricted.
I think re-examining the restricted list as a whole is a good idea at some point. But for the relevant Knights of Hollow Hill, do you guys have any pertinent final thoughts on the agenda itself? Or shall we go ahead to each of our final decisions on the matter of banning, errating, restricting, or leaving it the hell alone? I'm sorry, guys, but due to some technical difficulties we had, portions of the very tail end of the previous discussion on the Berlitha of Knights of the Hollow Hill were lost, as well as the beginning of Props and Slops. Suffice it to say that at the moment, the three of us feel Leave It the Hell Alone is probably the best option, and I hope the discussion there and here in Props and Slops is not too jarring in the way I had to splice it together. Thanks.
Keep going, Daryl. This is a safe place.
Yeah, it is a safe place. I just wish that I was born in the year 3000 and I could take a poop in my pants and then it would run through a process of filters and pretty soon I would have a hot dog in my pocket.
Wait, with 1,000 years of technology, you yearn for self-defecation without consequence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do.
I don't blame
That's
him.
That's fine.
Yeah, that and BDSM of a high quality.
You mean you can't get that in a high quality right now?
I mean, not right now.
Not in Missouri.
No, but seriously, I had a lot of fun. There's a new Hosbioroid identity where your maximum hand size is equal to the number of credits you have, and I just had a field day with that.
A day of fields.
It was super fun. So, if you haven't, I mean, I'm sure you've heard about it by now, you've played it by now, but try to pick it. If you dismissed it early on like I did, I mean, I bought through a cycle, and then I was like, okay, well, I'm not really going to play. Go ahead and try it again. And maybe it was the people you were playing with or something like that, but really look at the game as a standalone and soak that up.
Soak it up.
Soak it up.
Like a dry sponge.
Yeah, like a piece of bread.
Really?
Tucked between a big ass pair of titties on a hot summer's evening. On a Midsummer Night's Dream.
Wow, this
was educated and trashy.
All at the same time.
I mean, that's what you get with me.
That is exactly what we get with you.
You know, I'm going to follow Daryl's prop up with a fairly similar one. I just picked up the Balance of the Force expansion for Star Wars, and it looks hella cool. I have yet to have the chance to get folks together to actually play some of the challenge decks. So I'm hoping maybe we can accomplish that this weekend. I'm really looking forward to it. I think that's going to be a blast, and I love that that's going to be like an official part of the Star Wars game.
Yeah, I was looking at Team Covenant's page, I think, and they spoiled or maybe it was just Barr's page, but he spoiled a Mara Jade card.
Mm-hmm.
And had it out, and just the more expanded universe stuff that's out there, I'm excited for. I'm finally reading the books, like diving into that nerddom. My fiance is very into the EU, so you know, I'm taking that journey now for the first time, virgin eyes, and to see like Mara Jade and some of those characters that I've now learned to love and think are super cool to make it into the game and not just be about the movies is very neat and very excited. And she actually
told you movies.
Yeah, there's like what, 7 of them? Is that it, Will? 7 movies? 8
what?
Movies? I don't know.
Star Wars.
There's like Ewok Christmas, and then
are you counting that?
How do you not count Ewok Christmas?
Movies.
You know what? I'm gonna give a slap to Will.
There are on the 3 Ewok movies, Kyle.
That is true. There really
are 3.
But regardless, to have those characters making their way, and I mean, Dani said herself, she saw the Mara Jade card, she's like, I'm going to go buy Star Wars tonight just to get my Mara Jade on. So, I mean, that's cool. And anytime my nerdy fiance will play cards with me, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I've got the Star Wars collection. Robin got me the Star Wars Blu-ray collection on Blu-ray. And I'm enjoying it. It's nice.
Right now, you're enjoying.
I haven't read any of the books. I don't know. Geez, I can barely read a poem, let alone a whole book. Like, come on. I'm trying.
They're actually really good. I started with Timothy Zahn's little Thrawn trilogy.
That's
where I was
one.
Told to begin my journey into beyond.
Zahn does some real good EU writing.
I'm getting better at reading. I start to get like halfway through a book now before I quit. So.
That's great, Daryl. Before you know it, you will learn what Spot sees at the end. Or so. What the hungry, hungry caterpillar becomes. I'll give you a hint. It flies.
See, this is what happens when you grow up watching Wishbone. That motherfucker, he just acts it all out for you. You don't even have to read the book.
I don't think he has sex at all, much less with any mothers. But, right. I mean, it was a children's show.
And also, you're going to have to stop breathing into your mic.
Slops to mic breathing.
I'm sorry, I peeled an orange earlier and I'm still recovering.
Like, does it sound like that when I, like, hang on. Is it, did I just breathe into the mic? Did it sound like that? Or
It was definitely different.
There I have a really good mic. I have a really good mic.
See, it's crap mic. I've got one of those, like, call center wannabe headphones.
Oh, nice.
It's not good. It is not good.
Just so you guys know,
crappy headphone.
Like, everyone has stopped listening to the episode at this point.
You don't know that. I'm sure Ben's sitting in his desk bored listening because he's got nothing better to do.
I think that really affects a lot of our listenership when no one has anything better to do. You know, in fact, speaking of our listenership, I'm actually a little worried. I feel like I should give props out to listeners because we've only gotten, like, positive feedback for the last, like, three episodes or so. People just say,
wow,
good job, good job, good job, and that's it. And so that worries me. I'm afraid they're planning something behind our backs.
It's true.
It would surprise me.
Yeah, don't be afraid to call us out and call us idiots. Like,
I'm sure at the beginning of the end, you're going to get a ton of comments about this new douche you brought on the show.
Yeah.
And how he knows absolutely nothing about this game.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to be our version of, what's his face? What was that cousin that they brought up? What was the name of that cousin they brought on the Brady Bunch that killed the show?
I don't know. I didn't watch it at the end.
Is that Macklemore, maybe?
Yes. Yes.
Definitely.
Hey, guys, let's go to a thrift shop.
Here's a story of a guy named Brady.
Where
was that going? Like, in your mind, where did that song go?
I don't know. I was going to try to introduce Macklemore into it, but I didn't know how.
It is too late for that. Those days are long gone.
Anyways, okay, let's wrap it up.
That's a great way to end the show.
Yeah.
Okay,
let's
so
just have you sing the Brady Bunch on our way out.
Here's a story. No, okay. You can get a hold of us. You guys know how to get a hold of us. twochampsandachump@gmail.com. Or you can check out our Facebook page. Or you can text me. That's okay.
No one's going to text you.
Daryl, you should give out your Snapchat. Oh, wait.
I turned it off. I don't know. Maybe I should.
I snapped to Kenan earlier.
Yeah. Actually, Kyle, you were the very first snap I received whenever I downloaded it a while back.
Is I turn people into wizards. I doodle on them and turn them into wizards.
Oh, nice.
Well, yeah, I got
that. That's pretty nice.
Watching Smog. Props to Smog. That was good.
I haven't seen that movie yet.
Cumber Smog is maybe the best CGI character ever. That's going to be my statement. People can hate me. Oh, yeah, if you thought I was an idiot and you don't want to hear me ever again, put that in the comments on Facebook because I can't check the email.
Well,
just let me know how bad I did.
And you can put that there. But
I'll tell you, you're not missing much on the email, Kyle. We've been getting good feedback on Facebook and a lot of comments for the last few months on the postings on CardGameDB. I couldn't tell you the last time we got an email. I mean,
yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Thank God, no one
used through the 3 years we've done this show, I'm pretty sure we've received like 5 emails.
And how many of them were from Daryl's mother?
Now, we used to actually get 6 emails fairly often, but everyone's moved their stuff to the social medias. This Gmail thing.
It's a hip
isn't
new world,
cool
bro.
Anymore, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Google Plus, people use that still, right?
Yep,
right?
We're on there. We are so on there.
Anyways,
and we tweet.
Let's wrap it up. We're wrapping it up. We are on Twitter. Again, send emails to FFG and all that, telling them that you want me to commentate their next world championship. I know enough about all the games to do this, so you should do that. And get a hold of us and let us know. Hey, send us some ideas for shit to talk about, like especially whenever there's not a championship going on or. There, you know, there's not a new set coming.
Yeah.
Like
we're
going
to be heading lean times.
Yeah.
The winds of winter are upon us.
Give us stuff to talk about. Or how about this? Send us also stuff you don't want us to talk about. We'll probably disregard it anyways, but that's not a bad thing to do.
But
anyways.
At least we got something.
at least we can hear from you.
All right.
Tell us how you feel, how your week went. We just care.
Daryl,
I'll read them.
Great counsel.
I will read them.
Kyle,
I got nothing going on.
You guys know what I heard the other day?
Danger Zone! What is this, like, Prius Penis Club?
Remember, that's what you get. Me and you are founding members of the 14-inch Penis Club, and I said that whenever you join, whenever you get accepted, there's a lot of paperwork, there's a 2-year waiting list, et cetera, et cetera, kind of a bondage trial period. Anyways, what you get is a commemorative cup and a Prius.
Yeah, that makes sense. I still have the cast molding from when I had to do that plaster fill of my junk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have to send that in and it goes up for review.
It's not just about length. Girth is very key.
Yeah, exactly. If you're less than 5 inches around, then you don't stand a chance.
You're out. Exactly. You're like one of those comically large pencils from, like, elementary classrooms. Don't even apply.
Yeah, we don't need another Tom Smith of 2001 on our hands. That was laughable.
Oh, my God. Oh, the giggles. You couldn't take him into a shower room anywhere.
No, you wouldn't want to drop the soap around that guy.
No. Is that our opener for this episode?
You know,
I hope not.
All I can say is thank goodness I was recording that. I hope it all recorded perfectly so that I can use it for the Easter egg this week.
Oh, good Lord.